This podcast is supported by Siemens, your partner for industrial-grade AI.
Hi there, welcome to a new episode of the Industrial AI Podcast. My name is Peter Seeberg and I'm your host. Today we'll be talking to Colin Masson. He is Director of Research, ARC at Advisory Group. Colin and I are going to be talking about MCP, another acronym, there's going to be another one, Model Context Protocol, and also added last minute about A2A, Agent to Agent, another industrial protocol, and each of these in the industrial AI. Hi, Colin.
Hi, Peter. Glad to join you today.
Please introduce yourself to our listeners, Colin.
Yes, Peter. I, with the ARC Advisory Group, as you say, I specifically cover industrial AI and related topics like industrial grade data fabrics. Most people probably know ARC. We've been around for almost four decades as an analyst firm that kind of started off in DCS, PLCs, and then kept pace with the industrial automation segment as it progressed. And we got into kind of PC control. And of course, now we have people talking about virtual PLCs, but we haven't always kept pace as an industry, not just ARC, with the latest enterprise software trends driven by IT, or of course now, often driven by data scientists. And so when I joined ARC about 18 months ago after serving my time with Microsoft, I really promised them I would kind of dig in and explore really the convergence, or I think it's more like the collaboration between IT, OT, and data scientists in this new era of industrial AI.
Oh, sounds very interesting. Yeah, I was going to ask you what were the topics that you represent. So you already said it's the topic that I have been representing personally, and Robert and I have been representing with our podcast, Industrial AI, as well as the wider area of, as what you say, the convergence of IT, OT. Well, very good. Great great basis for us to be here. Now, within exactly that environment, you initiated, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, an article series on MCP. I think the first thing you wrote, just as an introduction, I think you said context perhaps does matter, the emergence of Model Context Protocol, MCP, in industrial AI. So let's start from the very beginning. Maybe an introduction from your side. What is MCP?
Yes, Peter, and I have been watching some of your podcast for a year or so now. So really enjoyed what you and the team have been doing as far as keeping the eye on the ball, if you like. And that to some extent is what I was doing here. So Model Context Protocol isn't all that old, right? It really was released as an open source model in November, right? So just a few months ago. But I was kind of pointed at it by our clients as I was preparing for my next couple of reports, which are kind of on the need to ensure data quality and to really think about industrial grade data fabrics in our sector, because we have to deal with so many different data types and many ways. That word you used, context, right? And that word in the middle of MCP, we very often struggle, and it's not a new problem. We've struggled for as long as I can remember, as long as I've worked in manufacturing, with contextualizing the massive amounts of data that we have in factories and production environments. It's a problem that to some extent they don't have in the enterprise space, where you've got transactional systems and well understood data and process models. So in CRM or ERP, or even to some extent supply chain, the language and the data is much cleaner and the context is well understood. As you know, Peter, almost every factory is different, very heterogeneous, and usually has devices and equipment from many, many, many different vendors. And even if you're making the same product in two factories, usually what you're using to make that and the raw materials you might be using are, I think the one thing you can say, consistently different. And so getting that context is and has been a big problem. I was pointed at Model Context Protocol because it really is a way of tapping into the enormous pace of development on the AI front. I don't know about your inbox, Peter, but mine usually is telling me about some new AI model or evolution, whether it's they're getting smaller or they're getting more accurate or they're better at video or they're better at recognizing sound. I get one of those, probably at least one of those, in my inbox every day. And the battle that I think people were having in the industrial realm, even if they wanted to keep pace, was how do I use the right tool, so the right model, with all of this proliferation, all of this choice that I have now in using AI, and very often it's not Gen AI models, it may be traditional ML or neural net models that we've been using for decades and very often are more accurate and lower cost for the particular task or skill that we want to replicate in the industrial environment. So Model Context Protocol kind of came out at the right time from my perspective as I was trying to work out, right, how does this fit into our very often mission-critical environment where we need predictability, we need these tools to address skills gap and take the next step in productivity, but how do we do it in a safe and secure way? And so anything that provides a standardized way of leveraging these tools, in this case, MCP, Model Context Protocol, was released by open source by Anthropic specifically to tackle initially their own problem of how do I make it easier for people to choose the right model and use the right model for each of the skills or tasks they're trying to perform. But they chose very pragmatically to offer it to as open source, and it got picked up very, very rapidly. And that's when I started to write about it, Peter. So Amazon has announced support for it, not surprisingly, because they have a commitment to Anthropic, so they have an investment there. But all the major players, Microsoft, Google, so certainly all the hyperscalers have already committed to it and released support for it. So it makes it much easier for us to mix and match all the latest and greatest tools that are coming. And it's a standardized interface effectively for these language models to access tools and contextual data. And I think we'll get on to how that then opens the door for us to maybe have MCP, sorry, I used the shortcut there, but Model Context Protocol servers to access industrial data or provide access to these language models, or not, it doesn't have to be language models, but these AI tools to access these our industrial data in a consistent and safe way.
Okay, thanks for that. Great introduction. I think all the words, the important features, so to say, of MCP, open source, you mentioned Anthropic. We'll talk about more about industrial grade, very important later on. And the big word, I guess, yes, is context. Maybe to extend it, I'm going to ask you specifically why you believe, or what do you believe did Sundar Pichai, the Google CEO, mean when last week he wrote, think he wrote it on X. He said, to MCP or not to MCP?
Mm-hmm.
That's the question, I guess. He didn't put it like that. Do you have an idea? You're aware that he wrote that there? There was a question. What did he mean by that?
Well, I think there's a couple of ways we can think about what may have been behind that comment. I think really MCP has garnered a lot of attention because it lays some foundations for what people are calling agentic AI, almost the next wave of evolution and scaling out of AI capabilities. And the Model Context Protocol is one of the pieces of the puzzle that will help us do that, but it's very young. And as I kind of wrote in a later episode of my blog series, as I was digging into it, there are some identity and security challenges with it. And then as we'll get to later, there have been some extensions now proposed to MCP, which make the agent part of that much easier. Model Context Protocol does not really simplify how agents collaborate and hand tasks off to each other. That's one of the extensions that's now been proposed by Google, and they also generously decided to add it to the open source. And in fact, the announcement came out with, I think it was almost 50 companies backing the extensions. These extensions are called A2A or agent to agent, and they are extensions to the Model Context Protocol that add capabilities like agent cards that describe what each agent does and how to interact with it, and concepts like tasks so that you can have long-running handoffs, you know, human in loop, because you might want an agent to do something, but then wait for an approval before it goes and asks another agent to do something. So there are some concepts introduced by Google and this consortium of 50 companies. And some of those companies, by the way, are big names. It's, you know, it's the SAPs and the ServiceNow, and I'm sure I've forgotten a few, but Salesforce, I think, was in the mix.
Yeah, I saw Accenture myself. Yeah, right. That's how I got into it. Yeah.
All right. And then there was some, and then a lot of the consulting and integration companies, like I think Accenture and Deloitte, and I'm sure KPMG, I remember being another one. So, and they've all been working on agent frameworks of their own to some extent, right? So, the fact that they've all jumped in behind Google, recognizing that Model Context Protocol provided some much needed standardization, and now they've proposed these extensions and are actively working on these extensions to take it beyond being able to use any model you like to the next step of the agents that are using those models now have a way to communicate and be orchestrated in a consistent way. So I think in a matter of a few months, we have started to see much more commitment to open source, which I think is something that all of us were clamoring for in the AI space, and also a breakthrough in terms of being able to apply the right AI tool for each task or activity and not try and solve every problem with, let's say, one Gen AI model. So in many ways, that is why we have, Peter, we've been talking about industrial AI for a long time before Gen AI. And that, and I think the real danger we saw was that people were assuming Gen AI was the AI that could solve every problem. And in fact, that was holding us back in the industrial sector, where, you know, we need accuracy, we need predictability, we need explainability, we need all of these things for us to really drive adoption safe, secure, applications of AI.
Let's stay with that if that's okay with you.
Yes.
And we do want to then afterwards come back to the agent to agent. And I thought the Sundar quote was about, because I saw the Google support only a day or two after his MCP or not to MCP. And I thought it was about, well, again, the you talked about the battle of the large language models, and it continues between a handful of number one, plus thousands of other companies. But we'll get back to that then towards the end. Industrial grade, as what you just said, and you were talking about security, because there was then also a couple of weeks back, and I just really wanted to know from you, I think there were a number of security issues. I'm really less interested in what exactly they were, if at all you know. I would like to know from you, from your understanding, were they, things that will get a patch or have in the meantime received a patch, I guess. I mean, can we assume that that has been understood by Anthropic and the open source community that at least for those that want to use this technology in an industrial environment, we will need the highest possible embedded, included security?
Yes, I think it has to some extent already started to be addressed. Part of the issue, there are identity and security issues with MCP as it was initially proposed. There are already some, I think you called them patches, there are already some fixes. And I'm already, you know, on a daily basis, I talk with vendors that are trying to build these solutions, not so much end users. They tend to lag a little bit behind, hoping that their approved vendors are going to fix these problems for them to some extent. So I tend to see the vendor community kick the tires. And so I've been talking with a lot of real-time systems architects that are working at industrial data ops vendors. I think are right in that sweet spot, because they're the ones that typically are tasked, if you like, with adding context to real-time data, and very often navigating hundreds of different devices. They have all sorts of connectors, and they have to somehow come up with a unified namespace, I think is a term that we all have grown familiar with in the in factories and in the industrial edge side of this data estate problem. And they identified pretty early on, obviously it's only been out for a few months, that there were some challenges, there were some limitations in terms of how you can communicate streaming data versus event data, but they're all starting to be addressed. And in fact, with the Google and the consortium's A2A announcement, they also announced some of the commitments to ensuring applicability to a number of industrial use cases. So there's wide recognition of what needs to be addressed, and active commitment from Microsoft, AWS, Anthropic, plus this consortium to evolve these issues, because some of the security and identity issues are not unique to us. In the industrial sector, you can imagine these agents working on highly confidential data. And part of the problem is a context protocol carries context with it, right? So you can imagine if you don't secure the messages moving back and forth, there is lots of opportunity for abuse. So there's some, it's being addressed as we speak. And so I think people can progress, but they should be. The developer side of this, the people that are actually building solutions, have been made aware of some of the limitations and things that they need to be aware of. Some of those will get fixed as the protocol and the A2A get fixed. Some of them can be addressed on the source side, because ultimately an MCP server, which is interfacing with an AI model that needs industrial data, will be requesting that data from something like OPC UA or a unified namespace that, again, is probably sitting on top of OPC UA and a set of connectors, each of which have their own security and identity, but the problem becomes when you hand off context to MCP, which is what it's intended to do. You need to secure that, right? And you need to make sure that identity access to that isn't forgotten once you hand it off.
Right. Now, you brought me exactly to where I wanted to continue. So that's really perfect, Colin. You mentioned OPC UA. Context is the big word. And if I hear a couple of things you talk about, like embedded security, I am very much involved in what OPC UA has been doing, is doing. Now, interestingly, in I think the first or second part of your series, you talk about imagine an AI assistant finally comprehending the intricate jargon of PLCs and SCADA systems without the prerequisite of specialized knowledge in every industrial protocol. That was very interesting, number one. And number two, you also said specifically, imagine having an MCP server for OPC UA. That would be a big step forward for interoperability. So I just wanted to explicitly mention those two. Maybe you can build further on that. Then you also mentioned UNS. Now, the big thing is context. And then I think in your articles, in your thinking, the big question then at some point, that is the question I had. And I think I've actually, in the meantime, seen an answer that you have, because it's about replacing, completing. So the question is, what role does each of these mentioned, and maybe you can spend one, two lines on each of them, OPC UA, which I know very well, maybe not all our listeners know very well, the same thing for UNS slash maybe in relationship to MQTT. So what role could each of them be playing, and are we talking replacement or are we talking completion?
Yeah, I think let me try and keep it as simple as I can, Peter. OPC UA gets reliable data from lots of different devices and machines. It's kind of the way we create a common language between all these different machines. UNS, or the Unified Namespace, adds a layer where we can take all of those machines and organize them into so again, we have, if you like, a library of those machines and their capabilities and whether they give us temperature, pressure, flow. So it gives us a way of not having to talk individually to every one of those machines through OPC UA. We can talk to the UNS and it communicates to OPC for each of those machines in our factory or our, we may have a unified namespace that unifies our 200 factories. I don't see that very often, Peter, but at least that conceptually is the idea. So it becomes a central repository for us to go and find that data about all of our machines. MCP lets an AI agent easily plug into the UNS. And yes, it could talk directly to OPC as well. So I think the real ultimate way we will see this evolve is we will see a doubling down on UNS, because we don't necessarily want MCP agents talking to machines individually. I think we will want to go through a UNS, and there's lots of vendors and organizations. Obviously, there's a number of standards. I think VDMA and others are working on that right in Europe. And over here in the US, you have SESME with smart manufacturing profiles, trying to simplify that access. A2A lets multiple AI agents talk to each other to coordinate tasks, often using the data and tools they accessed via MCP. So you can see you've kind of got this multi-layer stack, if you will, for this modern agentic AI approach. And so I think that's why I was getting excited about it. I could finally see a stack emerging that was scalable, that was starting to become more open source and generally accepted, right? And so is it 100% secure? Have we worked out all the identity problems? No. But with all the major players, right, backing these protocols and standards, then I think that's the best we can hope for, that there's now collaboration on addressing the needs of industrial AI at scale. And to some extent, that was my plea in my articles, Peter, was don't sit on the sidelines. If you're a real-time systems architect and you're working with this and you see the problems, we all want to know about them because we all want to fix them, right?
Right. And the way I understand it, I'm not sure how if they, whatever way, coordinated. I believe that on the A2A, they've been working for a long time. Same as for the MCP. So it almost felt like when MCP was announced, that relatively shortly afterwards, in my understanding, also the way you put it. So if we look at the layers, at least as far as the protocols or the architecture starting at the bottom, I know that OPC UA doesn't see itself as a protocol, more like a communication architecture, including information modeling. And that's where I'm going to move my question towards, because we have, so to say, this very specific context. And that's going to be my question. Maybe MCP is going to be adding things, but let's look at that. And then you say there could be or can be UNS, you already hear that I'm not very experienced with this one, on top of it. And on top of that one, then there's MCP. On top of that one, there's A2A. Now, the question then is, are we going to see, if we talk about MCP and on top of that, A2A, in an industrial environment, are we going to see MCP clients, and are we going to see then a UNS server, or are we going to see a direct MCP OPC UA server? That's, again, not having been that much experience with UNS, I can very well imagine and understand, but that's where maybe you have a better view globally, that I could do an MCP OPC UA server. And then the question is then MCP adding to the context, the information modeling context that I already have in OPC UA, or maybe the same thing for UNS? Or is it translating? Is it moving that specific in this industrial environment context into the AI environment through MCP?
Well, I think, Peter, and you're right, I didn't mean to infer that OPC UA is a protocol. It's more, obviously, there's communication aspects, there are discovery aspects, there is information modeling aspects, depending on which part of OPC we talk about. I think what we have to remember, and the reason why there are unified namespaces, is that not everything is OPC UA compliant, right? And so we normally have a library of different connectors that are required, particularly when we're not talking about a new modern greenfield factory, but we're talking about plants that are in some, you know, sometimes 50 years old. And they may have very specific equipment and hardware that doesn't have an OPC discoverable device or sensor. So I think that's one of the reasons unified namespaces are a big thing, is that somehow you have to get this visibility of all of your machines, and there's a very strong chance that everything in your particular factory or your fleet of factories is not discoverable through OPC UA. People that understand that data, really contextualize that data, say that, you know, what is that? That's temperature, pressure, flow. These five sensors make up an asset. These assets are connected in a particular way and material flows through them in a particular way. That's a lot of the hard work that ultimately ends up in a UNS, a unified namespace, that MCP can then get that context and pass it to the appropriate AI model. And similarly, the agents that are performing the tasks, maybe talking to different MCP servers, can then collaborate on that data, and you've preserved all the context as you go along. But now you see the the identity and security problem it presents as well, right? Because you've now got context about critical machines and data moving around between agents. So hopefully that also kind of frames that problem a little bit more. But the UNS, I think, is critical on top of OPC, just because not everything is OPC yet, right?
I understand. Yeah, right. I wasn't aware of the details, but I do understand the way you put it. Yeah, because I mean, as you say, if there is a company with 100 factories across the world and all of them theoretically would use OPC UA, then maybe the need for a UNS would be less. But you say, yeah, many times there's going to be 100 factories and maybe 20 of them have, let's say, as an example, OPC UA, and the other 80 have not or will have in the near future. And you say we still need a way to have those other 80 factories represented as well. Now, if I, what you also, are you saying, because I'm still looking at what value MCP from a perspective of industrial, let's say we have OPC UA and or we have UNS, if we have context, if we have an information model, is this idea, and I did discuss it with Robert a couple of weeks back, that when I was in the middle of exactly these communication protocols, I did a presentation, that's now 5-10 years ago, I guess, and I was looking at all these markets. So I was looking not only at industrial, I was looking at building, I was looking at retail, I was looking at, I don't know, maybe I was looking at medical, whatever. And I'm not sure if you know those others, but the idea was, I think I said in all of these markets, there's 100 protocols and there's a top 5, top 10, top 3, whatever. And I said, you know, in industrial, there's OPC UA and there's maybe a couple of other protocols. And in all the other markets, I wasn't aware of what they were. But I said, you know, there's going to be a top 3 as well. And are they going to be growing together? So, could you, is the idea that if MCP was not made for industrial, MCP was made as question, as a standard for interface for AI with data sources. So is in the end then the bottom line, the added value at a higher level, that if MCP is going to have this UNS server and or OPC UA server, and it's going to have some kind of, I forgot the protocol, in building. At the same time, it's going to have a building server, and it's going to have, maybe we're talking a hospital building is going to have another protocol. So that's, you're going to have that added value at a higher level, because all the different sub-markets would potentially serve their data through MCP. Is that a way to look at it?
Yep. And you're spot on, and I think it was important to convey that, Peter, so thanks for doing that. Obviously, we're in the industrial domain, so we tend to focus on OPC UA, but Microsoft, for example, have released all sorts of connectors to other systems that you can now create MCP servers for, right? So, and in fact, one of those is just websites, right? So if you need to go and get data from a website, you now have a standardized way of interacting with an MCP server. It can retrieve that information from a website, for example, but it could be a relational database. To your point, it could be whatever the relevant standard is in other industries, right? And it doesn't have to be AI, but that's what it's designed for, right? It understands prompts and how that information will come back and what kind of information is typically being prompted for. So it was designed to simplify the access of AI, different AI models, and kind of standardize the way that they can ask for and retrieve information. But it doesn't have to be, to your point, it wasn't designed, and we talked about it, wasn't designed for OPC and time series data, for example, which is one of our huge challenges. But we now have real-time system architects working hard on helping streamline it or improve it. And in fact, you can overcome a lot of the limitations if you write your MCP server in the right way, right? So you don't have to be constrained by its limitations if you overcome those in your MCP server. So you don't necessarily have to wait, right?
Right. Who's going to be doing that, you think? I mean, you know, we can just very openly, it could be the OpenC Foundation or a vendor or the open source community or...
Well, yeah. it could be. And we know that a number of those organizations obviously keep up with the evolution of technology. Many of the companies that announce support for A2A, the agent-to-agent framework, extensions to Model Context Protocol. If you go back and read the press releases and announcements, you'll see they talk about a number of industrial AI use cases. For example, coordinating robot fleets, managing distributed process control, optimizing supply chains with multiple actors, orchestrating predictive maintenance workflows, building dynamic digital twins are all in there in that kind of fleet, that suite of announcements, because you look at a number of those vendors that are supporting Google in their A2A extensions to MCP are already working on those problems and in our domain. I would make the case that supply chain vendors have been using agents before we called them agents.
Right? The term is very old here, right?
Right. And so there's a lot of understanding of the potential and the problems, and obviously a strong desire that we don't have to buy one proprietary agentic framework and get locked into yet another proprietary platform. And so recognizing that the market really is only going to grow and evolve and scale out adoption of AI, not just in the industrial sector, but broadly. That's why we're seeing this encouraging trend of more open source, more collaboration to really make this technology shift. You know, just one thing I want to get off my chest, Peter, right, which is, I don't like the term agentic AI because it seems to put it on the same level as Gen AI, as kind of another type of AI. It's really not another type of AI. It is an architectural evolution, right? On how do we use AI, including all the classifications of AI that came before it, you know, ML models or neural nets or computer vision models and Gen AI, but it lets us apply and mix and match them to solve on a more granular level the particular skills or tasks that we're trying to perform with the right tool for each of those. It's not this big Gen AI multipurpose tool, which is not good at a lot of things. It really lets us orchestrate. So I tend to think of it more as multi-agent orchestration of the industrial AI toolbox, right? But that's a bit too long-winded, so we need a marketing term, and that's why I guess everyone uses agentic AI, but I just...
I haven't seen it that much lately. I mean, if you say A2A, we don't say agentic to agentic. So I'm completely with you. I think it was the first time, it was maybe a half year back, the first time I disagree with Andrew Wang, which normally I always agree with. Since then, there was a couple of other instances, but I think he said agentic was more serious, more scientific than agents. I don't know if I haven't actually heard it that much since then. Well, I want to come to a close of all the things we heard today, and maybe my biggest takeaway, and I want to kind of check that with you, is like, because if then, you know, now our listeners are going to say, you know, what's in it for me? Why should I be writing? Why should I get involved in writing a MCP, whatever, OPC UA, UNS, whatever you listener are close to server today? My feeling is that it's like looking at this higher level or not. I mean, the use cases that you talked about, that each of this conglomerate of 50 organizations they're looking at a very high level of making AI work. Is that right? So it's not, it's saying, sure, we have our OPC UA, we have other protocols at a higher level, we have UNS, but is it that we need to look at a higher level and say, you know, if we as an industrial user are not going to be part of the bigger picture, then, you know, something is going to be missing at a higher level. Is that a way to look at it?
Yes, I think there's a perception that the industrial sector, having led in AI before November 2022, when ChatGPT kind of changed the game, that we were actually ahead in terms of industries, verticals, actually applying AI, ML tools and techniques, right? And somehow we've fallen behind. And I like to remind everybody, well, that's because you're now saying that AI is Gen AI, and large language models in particular have, there's no doubt they're having a major effect, but they're not good for a lot of the industrial AI use cases where we need engineering rigor, accuracy, root cause analysis, explainability for them to really be adopted at scale. So I think what is really happening now with this transition to agentic AI using agents that will use the right AI ML tools and techniques for each specific task and each use case that we have in the industrial sector, I think we've run out of excuses, right, not to regain that leadership and really show how this can actually address the skills gap in manufacturing. It can drive not just close the gap, but I think it can actually take us to that next level of productivity if we apply it in the right way. Now, not every organization has thousands of developers or data scientists to go and build their own. So that's not typically what I see, Peter. I see most organizations turning to their vendors, the people that supply their industrial automation or manufacturing software, and leveraging what they use. I think what I would be doing is I would be asking these questions of your vendor of choice. Who are you using for your unified namespace? What are they doing? And I think you will be pleasantly surprised that at least the ones I am talking to, the vendors I am talking to, are already kicking the tires on this and already working around limitations or feeding into these open protocols and communication methods to get issues addressed for our particular domain. So I think if there's one thing you should do is ask your, if you do have a you know, real-time system architects in your organization, and many won't, right? But if you do, I'd raise that question with them on how are they looking at this evolution, because you want to be able to take advantage of all of the innovation that's going on in the AI space. Ask them, if it's a vendor that you're depending on, then you ask them, what are they doing to deliver MCP servers that interact with unified namespace and OPC, and how are they thinking about the agent-to-agent next step in that process, where and how to orchestrate those agents. So there's a few questions I would ask, but hopefully that kind of nets it out for you, Peter.
Sounds great. That's what it is that you should be doing, dear listener. Colin, if listeners want to get in touch with you, can you do that? Should they go to the ARC website? Can they contact you directly? Or
Yes, they can either go to arcweb.com, and you'll find all of the analysts there, and I'm there. But most people will contact me through LinkedIn. So look for me on LinkedIn, and I will happily continue the conversation, answer any questions that you may have. And Peter, I look forward to us maybe talking again as we see this evolve.
Yeah, looking forward to have you keep me and our listeners up to date. I think this year you missed first time Hannover Messe. Latest next year, Hannover Messe, we should meet, but I'm sure there's going to be opportunities in between as well.
Yes.
Colin, thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thanks, Peter. Bye, everyone.